This morning, we will look at the passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. So I invite you to open your Bible. If you are using your Pew Bible, please turn to page 1242. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And you may remember last week, Pastor Titus preached on the first chapter of Ephesians. He preached on the prayer of Paul, which is based on the reality of Jesus' resurrection. And Paul prayed that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, will live in this unchangeable and glorious reality, that we may experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And today, as we move to the second chapter, we shall see something quite different. For instead of focusing on the glorious reality of Jesus' resurrection, we are focused on the dark history, the miserable past of believers in Ephesus. So you may notice that Pastor Titus always focuses on the positive things, the passages that tend to build you up, while I usually focus on negative side to weigh you down. But as Paul says in the first chapter of Ephesians, that God's purpose is to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. So indeed, God will use every piece of His word. He will use every type of the preachers to bring out His purpose to glorify Himself. So now please pay attention to the word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is the word of God. May He bless the preaching and reading of His word. So during World War II, when the Allied forces were suffering severe defeats by Germany, when the Great Britain was under heavy air attacks and in face of Nazi invasion, when the fate of the United Kingdom was at stake and hanging by threat, Winston Churchill delivered a speech in which he said, "I wish Adolf Hitler remembered the British history so that he would have known what his fate would be." So to Churchill, the British history represents a glorious past, those golden days of great achievements, of supreme power of the empire. Therefore, it's important for the British people to remember their history, which would provide them with encouragement for the present time and leave them with confidence in final victory. And similarly, Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, in our passage this morning, he also urges his audience, he urges you to remember your history, to record the old days of your past. Remember, the key verb in this passage. So as we move through these three verses, we shall answer two questions. First, what aspect of the past does Apostle Paul want you to remember? Does he refer to your history, as Winston Churchill referred to the British history? And second question is, why does Paul tell us to remember the past? Does he remind you of the past for the same purpose as Winston Churchill reminds the people of the British history? So now let's try to answer the first question. Why does Paul want you to remember with respect to your past? Look at verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In these two verses, Paul distinguishes two aspects of your old identity, the carnal aspect and the spiritual aspect. And verse 11 deals with the carnal aspect, the flesh, and focuses on one distinctive mark of the flesh, uncircumcision, which literally means the foreskin. So circumcision is the predominant mark that distinguishes the Jews from the Gentiles. And so for any Gentile who desires to convert to the Jewish religion, uncircumcision would be the greatest obstacle that they have to overcome. And that's why we find in Paul's letter to the Galatians that the Gentile believers in Galatia, they are anxious to be circumcised. They feel that they have to cut off their foreskins in order to cut off their ties to their past. However, the last thing that Paul wants you to care about concerning your past is this carnal aspect, the so-called uncircumcision. This is what the Jews want you to remember. Those carnal-minded people who call themselves the circumcision, which is only made in the flesh by hand. But Paul defies this obsession with the carnal aspect. According to Paul, uncircumcision is only the superficial, the trivial detail concerning the past of Gentile believers. But what really matters is the spiritual aspect, which he lays out in verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. In this verse, Paul highlights three essential identities that he wants you to remember about your past. And the first one is an outsider in relation to Christ. Paul says, you were at that time separated from Christ, apart from Christ, without Christ, outside Christ, not belonging to Christ, having no relationship with Christ. This was your predominant identity before you became a Christian, became a man in Christ. The phrase Paul uses here, separated from Christ, is the same expression Jesus uses in John 15:5 when he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me means being separated from me. So being an outsider in relation to Jesus is like a branch broken off from the vine, a member cut off from the body, a stone that has fallen off from the building. Outside Christ, you are lifeless, you are useless, you are dead in your trespasses, and you are good for nothing. And this is the first identity that Paul wants to remind you of, the identity that you once held. Now the second identity, which is pointed in this verse, is an alien in relation to the kingdom of God. You are at that time alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, says Paul. Here, the commonwealth of Israel refers to the people of God in the Old Testament, refers to the church of Christ in its infancy. So Paul's mention of Israel is not a reference to its ethnic distinction, but to the spiritual status the people of Israel had enjoyed. They were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, but you were aliens, foreigners, who didn't belong to the commonwealth of Israel, who received no citizenship of the heavenly kingdom. So this is the second identity that you used to hold in the past. Now finally, the third identity that used to define you in the past is a stranger to the covenants of promise, a stranger who has nothing to do with the covenants that God has made with his people, a stranger who has no portion or right or claim to the promises that God had made to his children. As a stranger at that time, you had no access to the throne of grace, no place in the household of God, no business to receive the forgiveness of sins, and no means of having peace, joy, or life. For you were irrelevant to the covenant of promise. You are excluded from the benefits of redemption. So these were your old identities: outsiders, aliens, strangers. And this is the status of your former life, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God. These two negative expressions summarize the state of misery that you once lived in: hopeless, godless, meaningless, a life that was characterized by vanities, by emptiness, a life that was trapped in despair and darkness. But even this is not the whole picture. Listen to Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 19. What is the mystery of that estate wherein two men fell? The answer is, all mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, are under his wrath and a curse, and so made liable to all the miseries in this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. The answer shows that before you were saved, not only you had no hope in this world, but you were liable to the pains of hell forever. Not only you were without God, but you were under God's wrath and a curse. For you were not just aliens, but even enemies of the kingdom of God. Not only strangers to the covenants of promise, but even breakers of the covenant of works. For you sinned in Adam and fell with Adam and shall perish in Adam as long as you were separated from Christ, as long as you remained outside Christ. I came to the United States 10 years ago as an alien. And even today, I'm still an alien in this land. And during these 10 years, I've always taken pains to make sure that my status remains effective, and therefore I am legal to stay here. So every 2 or 3 years, I have to submit an application to the immigration agency to renew or change my status. And then for the next 6 months, I have to wait for the approval of my application. And every time I returned to China, I had to go to the American consulate to apply for a new visa for re-entering the United States. So there was a time when I thought I could be deported. And there was a period when I couldn't drive as I was waiting for my application to be approved. Moreover, I am excluded from all sorts of benefits reserved only for American citizens. However, the pains, the fears, the anxieties, the inconvenience caused by being an alien in a foreign land, a stranger to civil privileges, are not worth comparing with the misery and distress of being an outsider, separated from Christ. For 2/3 of my life was spent outside Christ, without Christ. And I still remember vividly those dark days when I had no hope, when I had no God, when I was groaning, weeping in despair, and I was perishing, and I was having no strength to live. Life was so desperate that I almost came to the point of suicide. So you can kick me out of America. You can put me into prison. I don't care as long as I am not separated from Christ again. So brothers and sisters, do you remember that time when you were outsiders, aliens, and strangers? But you may respond, I grew up in a Christian family, and I couldn't remember a day when I didn't know Jesus. And this is quite possible. But I'm afraid you are confusing your knowledge of Christ with union with Christ. You are confusing your church membership with heavenly citizenship. And you are confusing your partaking of the signs of the covenant with the actual receiving of those promises. And this is the exact mistake the Jews commit. They point to their circumcision as their proof of their relationship with God, while they are actually sons of the devil, brood of vipers. So let me remind you, None of you was by nature a believer in Christ. None of you was by nature a citizen of God's kingdom. And none of you was by nature an heir of God's promise. Whether your parents are Christians or not, whether you have been baptized or not, all of you were at one time outsiders, aliens, and strangers. You are by nature children of wrath, sons of disobedience. And one of the greatest sorrows is to witness covenant children turn away from faith, walk away from the Lord. And you often hear them say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. But the truth is that you may never have believed in Jesus. You may never have really tasted the sweetness of your union with Christ. You may never have a witness to the glory of the kingdom of God. And you may never have really obtained the promises contained in the covenant of grace. So children of the covenant, maybe you are tired of this religion of your parents. Maybe you are not feeling that this faith in Christ could satisfy you. Maybe you don't think you can believe in this faith anymore. But let me encourage you that your doubt, that your struggle is not meant to pulling you away from Christ. Actually, they are reminding you that maybe you are not in Christ yet, so you should strive to seek union with Christ, to seek your citizenship in God's kingdom, to seek the promises of God. So now we come to the second question. Why would Paul want you to remember your past? To focus on these miserable identities you once had. And the answer is implied in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But as the key to Paul's mend, the reason underlying Paul's recapitulation of your past is to introduce you to this little yet crucial word, to say but in a most emphatic way, to demonstrate the stark contrast between your past and your present, between your old identities and your new status. Once you were far off, but now you have been brought near. Once you were an outsider, but now you have become a member of the body of Christ. Once you were an alien, but now you have become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Once you were a stranger, but now you have become an heir of the promises of this new covenant. So by urging you to remember your past, Paul is inviting you to relish your present. By reminding you of your old identities, Paul is aiming to refresh your appreciation of your new status. And by calling to mind the former days when you were outside Christ, Paul is helping you to cherish the current reality. And now you are in Christ. But you may say, I still couldn't remember a day when I was without Christ. And this is true. Not everyone has a dramatic personal testimony. Not everyone must have a perceivable conversion experience. Who says that the Holy Spirit could not regenerate a baby even while he or she is still in the mother's womb? Nothing is impossible with God. But when I ask you to remember your past, I'm not saying that you must have an experiential knowledge of being separated from Christ. I'm asking you that still you can identify with these old identities. You can still say, by nature, I was an outsider, an alien, a stranger. The point of reckoning with these identities is to show you that your salvation is never a natural event that is conditioned by the environment in which you grew up. Your relationship with God is never a family tradition that you have inherited from your parents. Whether you were brought up in a household of faith or in an non-Christian family, your faith in Jesus is nothing short of a miracle, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, the amazing grace that you should never take for granted. For this is not achieved in the flesh by human hands, but in Christ Jesus by his blood. It is in Christ Jesus that you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In order to deliver you from the state of sin and misery, Christ went into the state of humiliation, being born under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death on the cross. For your sake, Christ became an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, being despised, rejected, and betrayed by his own people. For your sake, Christ became a stranger to the covenant of promise, taking up all the curses under the covenant of works. And for your sake, Christ became an outsider, being cut off from the presence of the Father, enduring the outpouring of the wrath of God. So it is in Christ Jesus, in him only, that you are redeemed from your past and become a new creation, being blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven and filled with all the fullness of God. So, brothers and sisters, are your hearts becoming lukewarm and your zeal getting slothful? Have you abandoned the love you had at first for Jesus? And have you lost the passion you once had for the gospel? Are you drifting away from the truth? Or are you taking your salvation for granted? Remember your past. Remember that once you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, but also relish your present. Relish that now you are united to Christ. You are received into the kingdom of heaven, and you are partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. But above all, rehearse the gospel of Jesus again and again. Rehearse the work of Jesus Christ, who has delivered you from your miserable past and brought you into this marvelous present by means of his own blood, by dying on the cross, and by raising from the dead. Let us pray. God our Father, we want to forget about our past. Those old days when we were dead in our trespasses, when we were walking in the passions of the flesh, when we were by nature children of wrath and liable to the miseries of this life, to your curses. But Lord, we need to remember those old days because it is from these old days that you have redeemed us. And the cost is the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, the more we think of our old days, the more we shall appreciate the great work you have accomplished through Jesus Christ. So Lord, remind us of those old times when we were outsiders, when we were strangers and aliens. But let us not be despaired. Let us relish this glorious present that you have put us into. And now we are your children. And now we are in union with Christ. And now we are partaking of the good promises in the gospel. Oh Lord, revive our love for Jesus Christ and stir up our passion for the gospel. This gospel we have heard again and again. But Lord, we need it every day. Help us, Lord, to keep faithful to the very end. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, and by his blood, we offer our prayer. Amen.